and there's other shows that have...
We stretch it sometimes.
I don't think I've ever heard a single episode where it wasn't stretched. I mean, it's really amazing how when you hear the topic, you get in your mind an idea of, okay, here's the kind of things we're going to get, and there's always one or two items in the show that are completely going in a direction you didn't anticipate.
Haha, that's our specialty. That's what we do. We blow your minds.
Yeah, that's true. Ryan, how long have you been involved?
Like 3 years, I think.
And what attracted you to it? How did you first hear about it?
Originally, I was wanting to do a science show. And then I realized that wasn't feasible. So I just joined the Youth Collective.
Never say never, I suppose. But yeah, a good way to get started. Are there elements of being in the collective that you find really attractive?
Yeah, it's fun just to be given free rein to do what you want and make a interesting piece that is heard by a lot of people.
Care to give us any spoilers on stuff that you're working on for the upcoming show?
Or it's,
I guess,
about
aliens. Not working on, but what you have worked on for the upcoming show.
It's about aliens.
And that's, you're going to leave it at that?
I'm going to leave it at that.
All right.
And I will just say that the theme for our show that starts after News from the Boo, our theme for this month is discovery.
Well, then, speaking of that, it is about time for us to segue right into that show. Before we go, Aaron and Ryan, both of you, are there any other projects or things related to the Youth Collective that you would like us to know about?
We are doing a really great project with the Rosewood Initiative at the beginning of August. And they are the Rosewood Initiative is a community center that's out on 161st and Stark, a neighborhood that very much not only youth, but other people who don't live there are in control right now of telling the story of what's happening in East Portland. So we're doing, we're teaching some basic media literacy and some basic interviewing skills and getting the kids that hang out there to do interviews in the community and with the people that are there. One of the exciting things about that is that we had applied for a grant with them that we didn't get. And then Jenny, their director, and I were like, well, we should just do it anyway. This is cool. And the week before she was meeting, there was a 5-year-old kid that had gotten shot out there. And one of the neighbors of that youth was part of the Rosewood Initiative. And she came to Jenny and was complaining about the media coverage and like, I want to interview people. I want to talk about the neighborhood. And she's like, that's weird. In 3 days, I'm having coffee with a lady from a radio station. So it'll be really exciting. And those interviews will be on the next Youth Collective show in August.
Outstanding.
So yeah, I'm really excited about that one.
Well, hopefully everyone who has listened to the news is still tuned in. And I encourage every single one of them to not touch the dial, because the Youth Collective is fantastic and always has stuff that you are not going to hear anywhere else on the radio. Thank you both, Aaron and Ryan, for joining us today. And to all of you out there, we will join you again next Wednesday after the news with Mike and Monica for another episode of News from the Boo.
Thank you. Bye.
Listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM Portland, 91.9 FM Hood River in the Gorge, 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis.
Lying on a woman.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Sex Workers film series. The film to screen on August 2nd will be Mutantes, Punk Porn Feminism. Is pornography an acceptable form of expression? And if so, can distinctions be drawn between different forms of pornography? This documentary raises a number of questions, seeking to provide the answers from the perspective of pro-sex feminism, which asserts that pornography must be wrested from patriarchal control, and that in the hands of women and sexual minorities, it can become a tool of liberation. Again, that's Mutantes, screening as part of the Sex Workers film series, Saturday, August 2nd, at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the second annual Portland Roots Festival, Sunday, August 10th, from noon to 8 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. The Portland Roots Festival explores the food justice movement, healthy living through nutrition and exercise, and celebrates the flavors of African diaspora food culture in an urban landscape. The celebration will feature local artists and performers, a keynote speaker, African, African-American, Afro-Latin, and Afro-Caribbean food vendors, local nonprofits, and micro-entrepreneurs.
Again, that's the second annual Portland Roots Festival, Sunday, August 10th, from noon to 8 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair-accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
I was never cool in school. I'm sure you don't remember me.
And now it's been 10 years. I'm still wondering who to be.
And I'd love to mix in circles, cliques, and social coteries. That's me. Hand me my nose and we'd be happy.
Show me the mosh pit
and we'd be happy. We can be happy underground.
You're listening to the Youth Underground. Our theme this month is discovery. First up, we have a piece by Thor on time travel, and we're going back in time to look at this piece. So here we go.
In media, there are many different ways time travel is displayed. Magic, science, machinery, or nature. Everyone has their own idea and theories how time travel works, or whether it works at all. TV shows, movies, books, even games explore the possibilities of time travel. One of my personal favorites, Doctor Who, a British science fiction show that has been running since 1963, centers its premise on its main character, Doctor Who, traveling through space and time. The show's version of time travel is where time is not like a line. As the Doctor says, people assume that time is a strict progression of course of effect. But actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a ball of wibbly-wobbly, tiny-whiny stuff. The TARDIS is the vehicle he uses to travel through time. And it looks like a blue police box. Like they have in England, or used to. It is actually a living being that is made up of essence of time that travels through the Nexus, which is what connects time together. Prince of Persia was originally a video game franchise and includes a storyline called The Sands of Time. It revealed time travel through a magical sand sent by the gods that, when put into a special dagger, the Dagger of Time, had a power to slow down, stop, and even reverse time. In the 2010 movie, the dagger could rewind about a minute. Another movie that my parents recommended is Back to the Future, a 1985 comedy adventure. Perfect for a pizza and a movie night with the family. In it, there is a time machine made of a modified 1981 DeLorean car and is powered by plutonium to the flux capacitor. If it is hit 88 miles an hour, they can travel through time. In Doctor Who, they can travel from any space point in time. In Prince of Persia, they can slow, freeze, and rewind time. And in Back to the Future, you can go backwards and forwards in time. But in all of them, you need a device in order to travel. The phone booth, or TARDIS, the dagger, and a DeLorean. Also, all of them have different outcomes if you change time. In Doctor Who, there are fixed points in time and things that can change. So fixed points in time will happen no matter what you do, and changeable points can change. But if you manage to change a fixed point in time, like saving someone's life who died, the whole timeline could be destroyed. You also can't come in contact with yourself in another time. In The Prince of Persia, you can change minor events by going back small periods of time. But if you rewind time too far in one go, an evil time spirit will come and kill you. Lovely, I know. In Back to the Future, the time inventor, Doc, tells Marty McFly, "Now, remember, according to my theory, you interfere with your parents' first meeting. If they don't meet, they won't fall in love. They won't get married, and they won't have kids. That's why your older brother's disappearing from the photograph. Your sister will follow, and unless you repair the damage, you'll be next." This is Thor Craig from KBOO Youth Collective.
Thanks for that piece, Thor. I've already heard it, but it's really cool. Up next, we have a piece by aliens, apparently. Ryan and Gabe.
Entry 1. Korlax reporting for the High Command on the Glorkaforming of Planet Glork 2. We've discovered a new species on the planet Glork 2, and while it is surprising we didn't find them earlier, this may hinder our colonization process. My colleague, Zark, and I, Korlax, have been tasked with discreetly observing this lifeform to determine whether it is worthy of continuing its existence. If we deem them intelligent, we shall leave these creatures be and find a new home. If not, we shall start glorkaforming the planet right away. I have decided to call these beings Laxians, after yours truly. What? Calm down, Zark. You can get the next species. Note that in all further recordings, we'll use the term Laxians to describe these creatures. Every 86 tenth billions of a cycle, Laxians go into a state known as sleep. This appears to be triggered by planet rotating so as to make their stars no longer visible. Luckily, on Glork we have a trinary star system, so we don't need to worry about such an issue. Sleep seems to make the Laxians unable to move, so our theory is that they use this time to catch up on thinking, as there is no way the amount of information they take in can be processed by such a small, centralized brain. Entry 2.
Thank you for that wonderful piece. Up next, we have a piece by Sam on discovering music.
This is Sam McKinney, and this is my piece on discovery. For decades, we relied on radio to provide us new artists and new music from artists we already love. Now, there are many ways to discover new music. Music lovers or the artists themselves can create access to what's the latest and greatest. The biggest outlet could be streaming. Pandora has over 250 million users, having streamed over 13 billion hours of music. Spotify has 40 million users. Radio has a catalog of over 25 million songs. The app Shazam allows you to tag a song while you're listening to it. The app then identifies the artist and song for you. Another popular app is Sirius with 23 million subscribers. The app Discover is the number one app in 52 countries. There has been a 40% increase in streaming revenues, while seeing a 12% decrease in sales of physical copies of music. Some people use visual apps to see videos of the songs they are discovering, such as YouTube and Vevo. With the various different outlets to discover music, the possibilities are endless. Just like my love of music. This is Sam with the KB Youth Collective.
Thank you for that piece, Sam. Have you heard about this thing called Milk? This isn't an advertisement, by the way. There's just, I don't know, I've heard about it on TV. Next up, we have another piece by those rascal aliens.
Entry 2. The Laxians have been known to drink a stimulant known as coffee. This is an addictive substance, and many humans act slightly aggressively when they do not have any. The effects of coffee last for around 3 hours before a crash that can only be countered by drinking more. We Glorkians are lucky not to have a substance like that on our homeworld. Interestingly, the Laxians are not yet one united group. While we fail to see any differences aside from slight variations in height between them, the Laxians can differentiate between themselves very superbly. While it seems like it would advance their society, these imperceptible differences have actually done a lot of the opposite. The Laxians have had many conflicts because of them, which often made their civilization regress. This has never been an issue on Glork, where we are clones of the initial Glorkian. We have started to figure out how this social structure works. This culture seems to be based on height. The smallest of all the Laxians, the babies, are so respected that they are carried around and fed by the taller and lower class adults, who even clean up the waste of these smaller beings. Next is the slightly larger, slightly lower class toddler. Their larger servants still give preference to the supreme babies, but if no one of higher class is around, the toddlers get the most attention. This pattern holds through the other classes, such as kid and teen, until the Laxian is approximately 3.6892 Glorkian cycles in age, at which point they become an adult, the bottom class. This doesn't last forever, though. At a certain point, the Laxian adult begins to shrink again, gaining back more rights. This is likely an evolved trait to allow the Laxian to live longer and in the care of the adults.
Thank you for that piece, aliens. Up next, we have a piece by Stuart on a music festival. That sounds pretty cool. Let's get started.
This time we are going to be talking about the bands I discovered at the Rockstar Energy Drink Mayhem Festival 2014 in Auburn, Washington. Just as soon as we walked out of the car, I hear something that I was very, very excited about. Some of the craziest vocalers in my entire life, and that the first band I discovered was El Nino. Now, this band, I love their songs, and it was just great. I discovered the newest band. It was so great. And moving on to Suicide Silence. Now, this band, near the end, I discovered something crazy near the very end of the Suicide Silence. I discovered the motorcyclers doing crazy motorcycle tricks. That was awesome right there. It's just great. Their songs are great. The craziest, and by far the craziest, most screaming microphone sound that I have ever heard my entire life, along with El Nino. Now moving on to Body Count. Now Body Count, great. The band, I really liked them already on that day. Moving on to the finale of all the bands, it was at the back of the
There were four bands that were playing there. So let's start off with Trivium. Now, Trivium, I like their bands. It was so great. Now, there were songs on there that I really like a lot. It was just great. Now, moving on to Asking Alexandria. Now, this band, it was formed in, like, the United Kingdom. Their songs were great. I was rocking out all the time. It was just great. Moving on to Korn. K-O, mirrored R-N. Now, this band, everybody in the crowd was just standing up and just jumping for joy with all the songs in the Korn band. Everybody loved them. Overall, it was just great. Now, they were doing like a test song before the actual thing starts. After the test song, then all the lights went off like crazy in the outside area. It was just completely dark, completely. And then I saw Fire Effect, and then the song that they appeared was Shepherd of Fire, and I was like, overall, the event was great. It was the best rock concert that I've ever been in my entire life, and I discover whole new bands, discover everything that was new, the songs that I never ever listened, and I really liked them a lot, so I really liked them already, so... Now, before I even listened to those songs, and my reaction to those bands, and it was like, no, but I want to see Avenged Sevenfold. I want to see the only Avenged Sevenfold. When I heard those bands, and I was like, oh, and I really liked them a lot. And DJ, now see, then that's how you enjoy a new concert, discovering new bands and discovering new songs. That will do it for my hope you guys enjoyed it. See you all next month. This is Stuart McFerrin from the KBOO Youth Collective, signing off, over and out. Peace.
That was really cool, Stuart. I might have to check out some of those bands. Next up, we have Gabe interviewing someone, so let's see what's going on there.
Hi, so who are you?
My name is Madison Sturdivant, and I'm the festival director of GirlFest Northwest.
So, I do not know what that is.
That's all right.
Could you tell me about what is GirlFest Northwest?
Yeah, so kind of a real brief, you know, overview of what we're doing. GirlFest Northwest is an all-ages music festival. It's going to be taking place on August 2nd, so it's only 1 week away, and it's at Lola's Room, which is kind of downstairs from the Crystal Ballroom. Here in Portland, doors open at 7 and the show starts at 8 o'clock. And we've got an awesome group of 6 bands that are, the majority of each band is female. And we're just trying to spotlight some really awesome girls who are making music around Portland and Seattle.
Tell us a bit more about who's performing and kind of what they're like.
Yeah, so we've got 6 bands, and I think probably the thing that I'm most excited for about GirlFest Northwest is how much variety we have. Every single band that's performing is completely different from the one before. We've got a little bit of real soulful kind of hip-hop sounds going on, some trip-hop, electronica, indie rock, alt rock. We've got an all-girl punk band and just some real urban contemporary, you know, kind of ethereal sounds to look forward to. But I think that it's just going to be a real unique experience, and every single band is so talented, and there's just going to be a little bit of something for everybody.
Awesome. That sounds like a great variety. So what inspired you to organize and start this festival?
You know, I really just saw kind of a disbalance between opportunities for girls in the Northwest music scene, and really just wanted to provide a space for men and women both to come out and hear these bands that they maybe haven't heard before and just really experience this music and just kind of maybe give a little spotlight to the girls who are really working hard in our music scene.
Do you have any other goals for this outside of the festival?
I do, actually. I can't speak too much on what the future holds for Girl Fest, but we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. This is the first annual Girl Fest Northwest, so every summer we will be spotlighting girls who are making music. But as a nonprofit, we kind of have a lot of ideas in the works for the next, 3 to 5 years. Just different opportunities we'd like to take to support women and youth making music in this region.
So I've heard that you are a musician yourself. What got you interested in playing music?
You know, I started playing music at the age of 3. I was given my first violin and took lessons all growing up and tried out a lot of different genres playing that. And then when I was about 13, I taught myself the guitar and bass, and I started attending the Rock and Roll Camp for Girls here in Portland, and that just really got me very passionate about kind of this whole cause and this whole just the effort that's being put into supporting girls around here.
3 years old, that's wow. What advice would you give to other aspiring young women who want to be playing music like you?
I would say just work hard and don't be discouraged, because you know, it's tough for anyone to break into the music scene, and I think that women have kind of this added expectation of how you're supposed to look and behave, and I would just tell girls to figure out what you love and just really be true to that.
By the same token, what advice would you give people trying to organize festivals for any sort of event?
I would warn them that it's a lot of work, but I would tell them to find something that they really believe in and are passionate about, and that makes all of the work so much fun and makes it worth it and turns it into a really good learning experience. And I think that's something that I've been really lucky to experience so far.
Just in case they didn't hear it the first time, can you give listeners the details about time and place for this event again?
Of course. It's going to be taking place on August 2nd at Lola's Room in the Crystal Ballroom. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the show starts at 8, and tickets are online. You can get them at girlfestnorthwest.org.
And is there a way for people to get more information?
Yeah, right there at girlfestnorthwest.org, we've got the lineup, information on the venue, information on our awesome sponsors. I've been so fortunate to work with Willamette Week, We Out Here Magazine, Break Up Records, and Kind Healthy Snacks. But yeah, if you go to our website, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. If you go to @girlfestnorthwest, and you can find us kind of all over the place.
Thank you. Good luck with your first festival, and
thank
you. Hope to see a lot more in the future.
Thank you so much. I'm sure you'll hear about us. Come check us out on August 2nd.
Thanks.
Thanks for that great interview, guys. Up next, we have another piece by our overlords, the aliens.
Entry 3. Zark here, filling in for Korlax for this entry. While they have their flaws, the Laxians have made one great achievement for their species. It is called goof, and the stuffy-looking Laxians seem to really enjoy it. Korlax had so much excitement for it, he told me to do the report, an honor I don't take lightly. We must share this with the High Council. Maybe there is hope for the Laxians yet. It seems that these Laxians feed by absorbing nutrients through their eyes and fingers. We have determined this by observing repeated tapping and viewing of small glowing devices they call iPhones. The Laxian culture seems to revolve almost entirely around many leaders who go into immense political battles called songs. Often these leaders wear different attire than the other beings, an example of which is Lady Gaga, who is popular for her outlandish clothing choice. Even Korlax seems to be moved by an unseen tentacle when listening to the abnormal rhythm patterns of the speeches. We have observed the Laxians hyperventilating rapidly in group settings. I'm not going to reproduce this sound in the recording, for it is far too disturbing for your reviewers to evaluate. The Laxians seem to be referring to this phenomenon as laughter, which appears to be a side effect of the disease humor, which is common among this species. Korlax and I will be wearing protective layers when dealing with infected subjects from now on, so as not to risk the spread of this plague to our homeworld.
Another piece by the aliens. Next up, it's me. So, let's go into that. For this show, I wanted to include you. Yes, you, our listener. So I put together a list of things in several different mediums that you might not have heard of and might want to discover. Be warned, many of these things are very love it or hate it, but if they do end up becoming some of your favorites, you have me to thank. Let's start with the big screen. Wayne's World is a cult classic. It's one of those love it or hate it things. Spawning off of a Saturday Night Live skit, Mike Myers' Brainchild is a movie about two guys with a cable access show and beyond. It gathered enough of a following when it was first released to get a terrible sequel, but it deserved better. Watch it. It's on Netflix. From the big screen to the small screen, with some great TV shows you may want to binge watch. Samurai Champloo is an anime aired on Adult Swim here in the U.S. It perfectly combines interesting historical accuracies and inaccuracies, awesome fight scenes, well-placed comedy, amazing artwork, intriguing characters who develop over the course of the show, an upbeat soundtrack, and a plot which throws constant twists your way. It's great in English and even better in Japanese with subtitles. Flight of the Conchords is a comedy based around two struggling musicians. It only aired for two seasons and went downhill quickly, but the first few episodes are must-watches. In fact, one song from the first episode was aired on the Underground a while back. It's not on Netflix, so you have to get the DVD, but it's worth it. Moving away from things you watch, let's move into things you play. Video games. The Pikmin series is one of Nintendo's newest major series, starting on the GameCube. It's a real-time strategy series. You command up to 100 little creatures called Pikmin, which you use to fight enemies and gather treasure. The series is all about time limits, as you only have around 15 minutes in a day before you have to round up all your Pikmin to protect them from nocturnal predators. This makes you want to come back to the game to try to do just a little bit more. The pinnacle of the series is Pikmin 3 for the Wii U, but the other two on the GameCube and Wii are still amazing games that are worth playing for any RTS or Nintendo fan. Bushido Blade is a PS1 fighting game that is super realistic, in that it's possible to defeat your opponent in one hit. Although it hasn't aged well, it's very fun to play with a friend due to its so bad it's good voice acting, weird characters like a random cowboy and a disco spear wielder, and surprisingly deep gameplay. And of course, let's look at some bands. The Kinks were a 60s English rock band in the same vein as the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. They continued to create music into the 1990s and had a few hits you may recognize, such as You Really Got Me or Lola. However, they are greatly overshadowed by the above-mentioned Beatles and Rolling Stones. This is sad, as they're a really great band that are really worth checking out. Although much more popular, the Wings are as well crushed under comparison to the Beatles. This is mainly because of Paul McCartney's involvement in both bands. Sad, as Wings produced some amazing songs, such as Band on the Run and Jet. They even did a song for the James Bond series. Wings did get attention, but many don't know them well, and everyone should. They are arguably better than the Beatles. To end this piece, we're going to play a Kinks and a Wings song. I'm Nathan for the KB Youth Collective, and thanks for listening. And we're going to play that Kinks and Wings song now. I love those songs, as you saw. Up next, we have another old piece. Not quite the 1960s, as the piece is about, but a couple months ago, with Ellie.
President Kennedy, 1962, makes a speech, decree that we will walk on the moon.
We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Hello, this is Ellie Nakayama with the KBU Youth Collective. There's been lots about the JFK assassination brought up recently in the news. I interviewed my Grandma Jane last Friday on the 50th anniversary of his assassination.
Dig this.
The 60s. Hello, are you there, Grandma?
I'm here.
Hi. So,
hi.
I wanted to ask you a couple questions about Kennedy.
Okay.
I heard that you met him.
Is that true?
So, can you tell us the story of that?
Yes, I can. I woke up one morning, and when I was having breakfast and getting ready to go to high school, I looked at the paper, and it showed that John Kennedy was going to be near our school. Asked Sister Superior if it was okay if we could take all the kids, all the girls down to meet him. And she said, no, we can't do that, but I'll let you bring him back here. I said, okay. And I walked towards the door really feeling like, how could I do that? She was a very stern woman, and she said, Jane, don't come back without him. So it was really a decree from her. So we went up, and we were in line with a bunch of other people when in came these old-fashioned 40s black cars, and music played, Happy Days Are Here Again.
skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
And Kennedy got out of one, and Pierre Salinger got out of another. He came up and shook everybody's hand, and I just shook his hand and didn't say anything. And the girls that were with me were kind of pushing me and say, ask him, ask him. It was the first time I'd ever talked to anybody that had a lot of charisma, and I was just really feeling kind of in awe of him. Finally, I went over, spoke to him, and I told him the story about how Sister had wanted me to bring him back to the high school and that it was right on his way. He said, I'll tell you what, call her right away and we can follow you there. I said, that's great. So I went and called the Sister Superior and told her. When we got there, he looked around and all the girls were out there, and then he started walking to look at the campus because it was unusual at the time. The nuns had built it.
So, to sum it up, he came to your school, you talked him into coming to your school, and he looked
and
around.
And when he got and spoke to us for over an hour.
Oh, that's so cool. So, I just want to ask you a couple more questions.
Okay.
Can you sum up the day Kennedy died? How did you feel, and, you know, what did you see that day?
Oh, The day he died, I was working at Blue Cross Blue Shield, and the announcement came over the loudspeaker, and they brought in the information that he'd been shot, but they didn't know whether he was alive or dead. And after about 20 or 30 minutes, they closed the business, and we were allowed to go home. We still didn't know what happened. But as I went home, all the people in Portland were just walking down the street with tears streaming down their face. They just couldn't believe this had happened. And then as I got home later, they announced that he really had passed away and actually had been shot to death.
Oh, I have one more question. I only have a minute left. My question is, did you think Oswald killed him? You know,
well, it's a very much of a mystery because it's very strange that Lee Harvey Oswald killed him, and then as he was being taken to jail, he was killed by this man named Ruby. So it's always left people up in the air, and it probably, if we ever do find out the exact truth of what happened, it'll be probably another 50 years when they might let loose the information.
Oh.
Of the truth of what happened to him.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me.
You're welcome. And should I turn on my radio?
Listen to KBOO. I'm Ellie Nakayama with the KBU Youth Collective. Peace out. Woo!
Woo!
And now, here's Johnny!
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your...
Here is a bulletin. Here is a bulletin.
What is it?
Stand by, please. Stand by, please.
In Dallas, Texas...
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route. In the motorcade route.
It's been... I'm
Elena. Three shots were fired.
Three. Put me on, Bill. Put me on.
Three.
Put me on, Bill. Put me on.
Three.
President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
Stand by, please. Stand by, please.
More details just arrived. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up. She called, oh, no.
Very different now. What? Something has happened here. We understand it has been a shooting. Something has happened here. I can see many, many motorcycles. I can see many, many motorcycles. This is Kennedy's pink suit.
official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. 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 Time.
We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of that first revolution.
There is a prisoner. There is a prisoner. Wearing a black sweater. Do you have anything to say in your defense? Oswald has been shot. Oswald has been shot. Jack Ruby. Jack Ruby.
Ruby. Came from Texas.
He runs the carousel club. Here is the ambulance.
More details just arrived. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up. She called, oh no.
Thanks so much for that. That was such an awesome song. I was dancing to it in the studio and everyone was looking at me weirdly. Next up, we have another piece by the aliens.
Entry 4. Laxians appear to be perfectly content to just sit idly watching their comrades perform tasks. Using a device they call television, they view their fellow Laxians act strangely in unrealistic circumstances. One such film was probably an example of what they call a joke, as there's no possible way they could be so elated about traveling somewhere as close as their own moon. This species must have very low expectations. Most of the creatures that inhabit this planet grow by consuming solid matter. Strangely, while growing mainly horizontally, many of them take pride in being thin. This begs the question, why do they consume solids at all? Everyone knows that gases are far superior in nutritional value and ease of consumption. It is difficult to learn very much about the anatomy of the Laxian because their outer layers appear to be interchangeable. I have sent Zark down to retrieve a specimen for dissection so that proper information can be gathered.
Okay, we have our next... What? What? No! They're hijacking the radio station!
Entry 5. After much struggling on Zark's part, we have finally dissected the Laxian. This has shown much regarding their anatomy. Interestingly, they're mostly opaque, unlike our fellow Glorkians. We also found high quantities of acid inside the subject's main food pouch. Being the good doctors that we are, Zark and I happily removed the acid so as to spare this tiny creature. It is easy to see why these creatures get damaged so easily. They have a measly 4 limbs, each of which only has 2 or 3 joints. No wonder they're so easy to break. At least the octopuses, as the Laxians call them, got it right. Zark and I agree that they are far superior to the Laxians. Perhaps we shall spare these elegant creatures, for they are nearly as perfect as our fair species. The Laxians obviously haven't discovered friction, or else why would their vehicles still roll along the ground? But there is something to be said for the Laxians. They made a good attempt to destroy their planet's ecosystems in an effort to wipe out all competition. While they were on the right track, the race's technology is far too primitive to be effective.
Okay, so they hijacked their station, I got it back, and now we're gonna have a discussion with Gabe and Ryan, and me, of course.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so what is this discussion about?
We are going to be talking about, like, the nature of discovery.
And what is a discovery?
Yes.
Okay, so who wants to start on this?
Well, basically, the idea behind this is... A lot of times, multiple people discover the same thing independently of each other.
And so it's like they're kind of discovering it for themselves. And so something to think about is it only a discovery for the first person who discovered it? Or is it a discovery each time? And what defines it as being discovered?
Well, do you guys know that kind of like aha moment you get when you solve something?
Ding!
Yeah.
And I think, like, that is in itself kind of... You're discovering something, and whether it be a puzzle or a math problem or whatever, you're discovering the answer. So I would say discovery can be multiple people.
Well, yeah. An example of that would be calculus, which was apparently discovered by multiple people, 2 different people at the same time. And they had a huge argument over who copied who. although in reality it was neither one of them.
And with that same sort of description, you can discover something for yourself, even if someone else is telling you about it. So if you're being taught something and it just really clicks, you kind of finally get it. That I think that could be counted as discovering.
That's interesting, and that's something I was actually about to bring up. Is like if
understanding.
You're given the steps and you do them and you find a result at the end. Is that really discovery, or is that just looking at somebody else's work and then coming to the same conclusion?
That's plagiarism. No, well...
I wouldn't call it plagiarism, because you're not like... You're just doing it, you're not presenting it as your own.
Yeah.
There's also another... So that's kind of discovery with, like, learning or figuring out, but another way discovery is used is for when you, like, find something, like discovering a new land or a new element or
it's
something.
Funny you say land, because that kind of brings up the whole Columbus argument. Like, yeah. He didn't really discover America overall, because there were already people inhabiting
it. But they didn't discover America either. Yeah. They were just there.
Well... They didn't originate in America. They
True.
Moved over during the Ice Age or whatever, from Africa or
and,
Asia.
And even Columbus wasn't the first person to settle on America. They knew that there was a continent there. They just didn't do anything about it.
And that's where it really, I think, goes back to the question of, can you discover something that's already been discovered? So I think the argument could be made that he was discovering it for his people, but it wasn't the first time that it had been discovered by someone.
Well, and that goes back to what type is that, as we were saying earlier about discovering it for yourself, not based off other people's work. But would that kind of be basing it off other people's work because they knew it was there? So you're discovering it. Maybe you're colonizing it for your people, but are you really discovering it for your people? Because if they already know, there's something there.
Yeah. And so, yeah, just those are two different kinds of discovery. I think there's a lot more ways that discovery can take shape, like discovering yourself. So if you...
The topic of many television shows and movies.
Yeah, if you're kind of going through some kind of change and you discover a new part of yourself, or...
And maybe a part of yourself that other people knew about you, but you didn't yourself.
Yeah, but
It's not exactly like you can go tell someone, oh, you're this way.
Yeah, and so I know a lot of people at some point in their lives will find or discover a new side of themselves that they hadn't really seen or experimented with before. It's kind of sums up the whole idea of like going through a phase.
Yeah, you know, discovering how you like to kill people or whatever.
What was that now?
What?
Discovery. So it's nice to discover also, this kind of relates back to both of them, discovering new things you like. So you could discover new music or a new activity you enjoy.
And that's an interesting bit of discovery, and we should be wrapping this up, but is the idea that nobody else can really discover that. They can't discover that you like something. You kind of discover it for yourself.
Yeah. So I think that's where, I guess, we should leave it is that discovery, while it's... affects the whole planet, or it can. It also seems like a very kind of personal individual thing.
Everyone can discover something for themselves.
Yeah, so I'm Nathan.
I'm Gabe.
I'm Ryan.
For the KB Youth Collective. Okay, guys, going back to the rest of our show. So we're now going to go to another piece by The Aliens.
Entry 6. I believe I have finally found the answer to why this species is so dysfunctional. Their communication method is incredibly ineffective. They appear to have a language, but it is hard to tell, seeing as the only way they communicate is through a series of auditory emissions from the lower breathing hole. These emissions can be distorted by any object, and the receiver is very fragile. The emissions also don't travel very far, diffusing after less than a mile. Lexians are not really suited for Glork II anyway. Due to their inefficient method of absorbing oxygen through the esophagus, they're only able to live on 30% of their own planet. I am being generous here, because that is not counting any of the sky. We Glorkians are proud to report that we inhabit 94% of our Glork, including the sky and almost all subterranean regions. Sark seems particularly fond of these helpless beings. Perhaps the High Council will permit him to extract a few samples for further study back on Glork.
Okay, and next up we have our seriously, guys, again?
Entry 7. After several cycles worth of study and observation, Zark and I have come to our conclusion. Laxians have inefficient communication systems, their technology level is substandard at best, and they spend far too much time fighting amongst themselves. On the other hand, Laxians have shown a large capacity for individual thought, as well as a phenomenon they call love. This further proves our initial suspicions that this life form does not possess a suitable intelligence level of 8 to qualify for existence. Glork II shall be relieved of them shortly.
Okay, so we're finally kind of done with our show, but to go out, we are going to play the Kinks, another Kinks song, this time tomorrow. So here we go. Thanks for listening to The Underground. The Underground is hosted every fourth Wednesday by the KBU Youth Collective. We meet every Wednesday at KBU at 6 p.m. to plan our show. If you're interested in getting involved, come on down or call our youth advocate, Aaron Yankee, at 503-231-8032, extension 221, or email youth at kboo.org. We also do a music show, Youth Randomomium, the fourth Friday of every month, from 10 to midnight. We're always looking for music from anyone under 21 of any style. And check out our website, kboo.fm/theunderground, or kboo.fm/youth. Next up is Hard Knock Radio with Davey D. Thanks for listening.
Wednesday night on KBOO brings you rock and soul, punk and metal, and experimental mixes from the best DJs KBOO has to offer. Rotating programs, one week will be Ditch Digger Radio, Dr. Zom Stereo Obscura, and Pandemonium.
Hey, I beg your pardon.
The Rockets.
And the other week will be hosting Drinking from Puddles, Life During Wartime, and Heavy Metal Vomit Party. Wednesday nights, full of the great music programming you've come to expect here on KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio and Sante Aesthetics and Wellness are proud to co-sponsor A Touch of Portland 2014, an exploration in healing. Saturday, August 16th, from noon to 8 p.m. A Touch of Portland is a KBOO benefit that focuses on the healing arts. It gives participants a chance to sample multiple healing modalities in a comfortable setting. This year will be a block party on Northwest 17th between Davis and Everett. It will feature organic food from local restaurateurs and 8 hours of music broadcast live we will have multiple